Deployment of the new capabilities is still about a decade off, but Army researchers believe it's realistic for the commanders of very small units to begin running highly complex computations of various courses of action they might want to take on the battlefield. The Army's been able to run those simulations to help it make tactical combat decisions for a long time, but those capabilities have mostly been confined to established battalion-level headquarters, with stacks of servers, plenty of power, and good connectivity to a network. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Baker, the military deputy for the Army's Command, Power, and Integration Directorate, says the thinking has changed as advances in commercial technology have made a huge amount of computing power available in small, low-power devices.
So how can we make course of action development faster, or how can we prevent, say, a squad leader from overlooking a real high-quality course of action just because they don't have the visibility of something that we want to bring to their attention? And then another one is situational understanding. So how do I, if I do have a bunch of information about the array of my forces, the array of the enemy forces, you know, what does that really mean? You know, can I infer the enemy's intent, or am I actually executing, if I look at the array of my forces against the enemy, am I executing my intent, you know, as designed? And I think a theme that ties all of those things together, what are going to be the impacts of this decision, or what are the risks of taking a certain action? What is the enemy trying to achieve? Or looking at where the enemy, what I've seen of the enemy so far in this engagement, what is his objective, or what is an action the enemy is likely to take that I should be anticipating? So really, it comes down to prediction, which is critically important to kind of taking situational understanding to the next level.
The Army envisions that a platoon leader in charge of a few dozen soldiers will have access to situational awareness data on their portion of the battlefield based on a complex network of sensors that include data on everything from their own fuel supplies and logistics chain to past enemy movements in a small geographic area. Ideally, all of that data will be analyzed and fed to a small unit commander via a handheld device. Baker says the objective is to give a battlefield officer a range of options he or she can take, but it's a careful balancing act. While technology developers don't want to create a system that substitutes for a commander's own judgment, they also don't want to overwhelm a commander with information overload.
There's got to be, you know, a really good understanding of what the individual is capable of kind of assessing at once. We don't want to set up an interface where the user just always selects what the computer said is number one. You probably don't want the computer to tell the user which one is number one. What you want is for the computer to say, if this action might have these consequences or these advantages, and this action might have these consequences. You know, might be that you could stratify them. You might say, based on, you know, all the experience that we have in analyzing course of action, these one-third we don't recommend. These one-third seem to be the better ones. We do want to make recommendations, but we don't want to drive the user towards a certain solution.
In order for the forward-deployed modeling and simulation programs to generate useful recommendations on what to do next, they'll need to be constantly fed with rich and reliable data. Baker says the only way that can happen is for the Army to connect many more of its systems to electronic sensors than there are right now. So, for instance, the Army's working on technologies that will electronically monitor the fuel levels in each generator at a command post.
Today, that's done manually. So today, somebody has to go around and open the gas cap and check the level and come back. And, you know, if we wanted to keep track of how much fuel we were using, that's all done manually. So the answer is we need sensors, which we have many, many sensors, and we have more and more the ability to take advantage of sensors that are out there that haven't been connected. So example is we've got, you know, gunner sights that historically have been analog devices. They collect a huge amount of information that doesn't ever leave. For instance, if I'm talking about a Bradley fighting vehicle, that information never leaves the vehicle. But if you might be able to do some onboard processing that turns that into information, data points that could be added to this situational awareness map that helps us understand things about the terrain, things about the enemy that has been observed, and those kind of things. And we want to automate that process. So we want those data points to be built in, basically integrated into the database picture of the battlefield in an automated way. We don't want that to be done manually.
Baker says the Army's targeting the deployment of its battlefield computation technology for incorporation into a concept that it's calling Command Post 2025. That project's objectives, including making sure the Army keeps the technological overmatch it's enjoyed over the past decade, even when it fights against more advanced enemies, and to do so at a lower cost. Baker says given recent advances in commercial technology, it's probable that the Army will be able to employ that vision in a cost-effective way that uses off-the-shelf components and significantly reduces the need for expert maintenance.
So a smartphone is a great example. If you look at that device, if we were within the government to try to develop that thing, so say it didn't exist in the civilian market, the cost per individual unit would be dramatically higher. The cost of each individual unit becomes much less because we're buying something that's produced, you know, at such a massive level. And it's also updated so frequently that you probably don't want to sustain it. You more than likely want to replace it with the next, as opposed to buying parts, you know, for your handheld smartphone. You more than likely would give it a life expectancy that's commensurate with the civilian market, and you would maintain them that way. And it would be substantially cheaper than trying to do this, you know, without any cots, you know. So there's a huge advantage to the cots. So I think that the explosion in computational power isn't necessarily because of military investment. It's because, you know, there's interest in this kind of computing power and a large scale in the public, and you know, we're able to take advantage of that. So I think that we do want to do that, and it does help us reduce the logistics.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.